Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Disneyland is probably not opening for the foreseeable future. Disney and Anaheim are not happy about that.
Work is still happening around the parks. Centerpieces get shined up. We talk about the history of Space Mountain and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of October 21st, 2020. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to send a shout out and a big thank you to Max B for supporting the show. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. Without our community support, we would not be able to produce the show and get through this difficult time, especially today being an extra difficult day. The supporter Discord chat has been a great source of Disney magic from all of our supporters. We actually just had a really fun movie night. Mm-hmm. If you guys follow us on social media, Alex, our social media manager, posted some fun photos of the treats that Tag and I made.
Yep.
We made those treats during a hangout with our cast member and level and above supporters. We made book brownies and Winifred's potion drink, which is actually, we weren't so sure about it with the ingredients, but it was actually quite good. So
no pulp next time.
Yeah, no pulp. If you're interested in those, we did post the link to the recipe for the potion in our social media posts. The brownies were just decorated to look like Winifred Sanderson's spellbook, but we did this because we had a movie night. Of course, it was Hocus Pocus with those in our chat, so it was a lot of fun. Well, if you'd like to have some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
I also want to mention that today we all live chatted in the chat about all of the announcements that came from today, and that was a really good chat, and we had some good stuff in there. So if you guys want to be involved and have Disney in your life during the day, maybe you need a break from your work from homeness or whatever, pop in the chat, become a supporter. Well, a few weeks ago, we talked about the amazing trip that Concierge helped us plan and the amazing evening that they set up for us. For those of you who don't recall, the team over at Concierge set up an evening of dining and fun for us over at Disney World. The night started off with us opening a secret envelope to begin our journey, and throughout the evening, we were recommended items and sent on a trip around the Seven Seas Lagoon on the monorail to the three resorts. We had a great night full of surprises, and none of it was known to us beforehand. If you want something special like this for your next Disney trip, contact our friends over at Concierge.com to get started. This is such a neat, unique experience that only the Concierge are offering. And remember to tell them that DL Weekly sent you.
Now let's get to the news.
Well, the state of California Health and Human Services hosted an update on COVID-19 in California stream on Tuesday afternoon to talk about the theme park reopening guidelines. This was not good news.
Specifically for theme parks.
Yes. In a nutshell, small theme parks, which is categorized as being under 15,000 guest capacity, can reopen at Tier 3 or the orange level at 25% capacity or 500 guests, whichever's lower. With only outdoor attractions and ticket sales limited to the same county the park is located in.
For larger theme parks, they can reopen at Tier 4 or the yellow level with 25% capacity. Both levels of theme parks must utilize a reservation system for obtaining tickets and must screen guests for symptoms in advance. Face coverings are mandatory throughout the parks unless eating or drinking.
So in our show notes, we will have a link to that stream that you can go watch on YouTube if you want to, because they recorded it. So if you want to see all the details yourself. Disneyland's president, Ken Potrock, went on Twitter to post his reaction to the guidelines, in part saying, quote, "Together with our labor unions, we want to get people back to work. But these state guidelines will keep us shuttered for the foreseeable future, forcing thousands more people out of work, leading to the inevitable closure of small, family-owned businesses and irreparably devastating the Anaheim and Southern California community," end quote.
The mayor of Anaheim, Harry Sidhu, seems to agree with Disney, saying that in part on Twitter, and I quote, "These guidelines fail working families and small businesses. As painful as this is, Disney and the city of Anaheim will survive. But too many Anaheim hotels, stores, and restaurants will not survive another year of this," end quote. And then he continues to say, again, I quote, "The unions of the Disneyland Resort agree and are supporting the reopening of theme parks in Tier 3, not 4, which would wipe out jobs in our city and destroy lives."
These folks had some very strong words. The fact
they
that
did.
Disney used the words that it is going to irreparably devastate the community.
Yep.
And of course, the mayor saying that this will destroy lives.
Yeah.
This is no uncertain terms. In fact, in our chat today, when we were talking about this, you know, all of us want Disney to reopen because we enjoy Disneyland and we, you know, it would provide a much needed escape from everything going on in the world right now. However, there is so much more with this. There's
right.
all those family-owned businesses, like mm-hmm. we were just saying. You know, I think you said earlier in the chat that this is basically going to, it's not going to look the same
no.
when we do get
yeah,
back to Disneyland.
Yeah, think about all of the different restaurants and smaller hotels and the non, even some of the non-chain and chain hotels. I don't really see very many of them able to survive throughout this. Because think about this, they've been going for six, seven, I don't even, I've lost count at this point. It's been so
it's
long.
Been a little over 7 months,
yeah.
I think.
They've been going this long without having their normal level of attendance that they're used to getting as far as customers because of the parks being opening. So it's already been quite a long time. So the fact that this is now, you know, being extended, I just can't, I don't know very many. I mean, that's a lot to put onto a business. Plus the business, plus the employees, plus. It's going to look very, very differently, I think, which breaks my heart the next time we are able to go into Disneyland.
So some of the things that came up that were a little strange. So the reasoning in this presentation, they did a slideshow. Mm-hmm. And one of the slides that came up, they said, was that theme parks are a higher risk than outdoor stadiums, which comes into a whole different thing here in a second.
Right.
The reason that they say it's higher risk is because things at theme parks, there's random large-scale mixing. So this is people moving about and crossing paths and everything like that. Tens of thousands of visitors from a broad geographic base, meaning not the area of Disneyland, visiting for a number of days, so in other words, coming from out of the area and staying for a few days, promotes mixing and congregating because everybody's coming to one
yeah.
location.
Mm-hmm.
Many frequently touch surfaces, of course, like everywhere, right? People are going to be touching handrails and attraction vehicles and everything, tables where they eat, everything, and significant impact on surrounding sectors. So, one of the points that the Health and Human Services gentleman who was giving the presentation today said was that people may be good inside of the Disney parks because Disney is being very good at like, hey, put your mask on, hey, social distance, hey, sanitize. But the concern is that those people would leave the park, not be required to wear the mask or socially yeah. distant, and then that will bring it out into the community. Because, of course, unlike Disney World, where people can do like what we did, which is go to the
That's
park and
the
remain
bubble.
In the bubble, mm-hmm. where Disney's all the time, wear your mask, social distance, that stuff. You don't have to go very far to get off of Disney's bubble in California. So mm-hmm. that's one thing. So they consider, now they compare this to the lower risk setting of outdoor stadium.
So they're saying that an outdoor stadium is lower risk because you can control the large scale mixing. Thousands of visitors are coming from the same geographic base. You're only there for hours versus going to a theme park where you could be visiting for days. You do have pre-assigned seating, which maintains physical distancing. So they can control where the people are because they can have seats blocked off.
Yep.
There are fewer frequently touched surfaces, and they feel it's easier to monitor compliance at seated events versus people walking around, I guess, and kind of moving about. I just don't know. I mean, it's really hard because, right, it's they're talking about Disneyland and they're talking about Disney not being safe. I don't feel that way. I think Disney was doing a great job when we
yeah.
were there at Walt Disney World. But, you know, I can understand the argument of there being less of a Disney bubble. However, I don't know if you necessarily need to take that out against the park. I do think there are things that they could. I think there could be a happy medium here. I do think that they could like, for example, because they're saying here just the fact of them comparing tens of thousands of visitors from broad geographic base would visit like a high risk setting, aka a theme park, versus a low risk setting, a low risk setting, which would be people from the same geographic base. That's something that you could control. That's something that they could do, which they are actually going to be putting that in place for the smaller theme parks. I believe yeah. the smaller theme parks are only allowed to sell tickets to people that reside in the county that the smaller theme park is located. So this is not the case, but for example, Disneyland is located in Orange County. So if you live in Orange County, then that would be the only way you could purchase a ticket. If you lived outside of that geographic area, they could say, nope, sorry, we can't sell you tickets. So Tag and I couldn't get a ticket. That is not the case. That was just an example.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. I just don't know.
The other thing that's kind of interesting to me about this that was confusing was they talked about theme parks kind of briefly. And then they went into this personal sporting events and outdoor stadiums, which they kind of covered. They say that they can resume in the orange tier at 20% capacity and the yellow tier at 25% capacity. They are going to restrict ticket sales to these sporting events to 120-mile radius. They require advanced ticket sales. You can't do any day of or will call tickets. Eating and drinking is going to be allowed in the assigned seats only. Face coverings are mandatory throughout the stadium unless you're eating or drinking, and tailgating is prohibited. However, parking at the stadium is required. So you can't park elsewhere. I don't know how they're going to enforce that.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But so the other thing, too, is they wanted to kind of explain how a county is moved from tier to tier. And they said that it's all assigned a tier based on test positivity, adjusted case rate, and the health equity metric, which I'm not exactly sure what that is. The other thing that they wanted to point out to try to give a glimmer of hope to people was that San Francisco County has moved into the minimal yellow thing. So they're trying to say, hey, they're, you know, a pretty well populated area and they're in the minimal section. So it's possible for everybody to do it. It doesn't have to be forever. But the problem with San Francisco is there's a lot of people that work in the high tech industry in San Francisco, and they come from outside of the community. Yeah. And right now, nobody's going to work at those jobs. Twitter's there, Facebook is there, all these companies are there, and none of them are going to work. So I don't think that you're getting a lot of people in San Francisco. Plus, San Francisco, you think California's bad. San Francisco took pretty drastic measures as well to close a lot of things down. So even more restrictive than regular California. So, you know, they're doing a lot of things. One of the things I know you were frustrated by with this whole topic was the fact that they said, like, you couldn't understand why they were allowing some things and not allowing other things.
Yeah, to me, just as a whole, I'm not understanding. It seems like there's a lot of ways that they're kind of contradicting themselves. So I think that's the hardest part for me to understand, is it doesn't seem like it's very clear and it's very even across the board. So I think that's what makes it difficult. Because in my mind, if, say, a sporting event can be, if they think that they can control a sporting event, then I don't know why they don't think that they control, like, a theme park setting.
Sure.
So that's kind of, I'm trying to figure out how they drew their line, because I'm not seeing a clear from point A to point B.
Well, the other thing, too, is maybe you look at the small theme park things and they say theme parks that are have a maximum capacity in normal times of 15,000 people or fewer. Well, why don't you just cap Disneyland at whatever that level is? One of the things that I mentioned too during this whole thing was that maybe Disney wouldn't be able to operate at that, because maybe that would be such small numbers that it would cost them more to open at that level than this and the indoor outdoor.
Yeah, I was going to say the other thing too that stood out to me was the fact that the small theme parks, even though they are allowed to open in the orange tier and the large ones have to wait till yellow, when they're allowed to open, they can only have outdoor attractions. So that really got me thinking about attractions at Disneyland and in DCA. Most of them, I would say, you would have to consider indoor attractions.
Well,
so if they could only...
There's a lot of weird ones, too.
Well, right. And then how do you... Like Alice in Wonderland, how do you classify that?
Right.
I'd say the Matterhorn, you could say, is outdoor. Since
it's mostly outdoor.
Mostly outdoor, whereas Alice, there's just the outdoor section.
Sure.
Same thing with Splash. You just have a couple outdoor sections, but the majority of it feels like it's in the show buildings. However, You could probably get the map, like the blueprints out, and maybe it's closer to 50 feet. I don't know.
I think that the next
you'd have a handful of attractions open.
I think that the next step Disney needs to try to do, and I don't know the legality and all the specifics of this, but I think what Disney should try to do next, other than which is what everybody else is talking about, that they're going to try to sue the crap out of the state.
Yeah, I do think there is probably a legal case being
built. Probably. But I will say this, that I think that Disney should really try to get Buena Vista Street and Main Street open, maybe even New Orleans Square, because there's a lot of shopping in there.
Yeah.
Basically get the shopping areas of the park open like Knott's Berry Farm is. There's no, Kate was saying earlier, that Knott's Berry Farm has no attractions open, but all the shopping stuff is open.
And they've got those lovely food festivals going on. I feel like we talked about this a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Wondering why Disney hasn't done something similar to Knott's.
But I think that now with everything being pushed so far back, they've got to be doing something.
Part of me wonders if maybe Disney didn't put the effort into creating one of these kind of new hybrid type festivals because they didn't want to go through creating it, making it happen, because it's Disney, right? They're not going to just kind of sort of maybe do it. They're going to go all out. So maybe they didn't want to take the time and expense to do it the correct way in their mind's eye. So they figured, you know what? We'll just wait. You know, it's not going to be that long. Well, now that it's been so much longer, I really wonder if they don't do, I mean, I feel like they have to do something. They can't just wait.
So I think something else we have to address that I think people need to think about. And I'm seeing this in our chat right now because we are live streaming this episode. And this came up in our chat earlier today. I think that we both kind of agree with this. So we're going to put our opinion out there about this. People are blaming the governor for this.
Yeah.
And I think that the government in general, he is obviously the face of the government. Yeah. He did not run this thing today. The Health and Human Services guy ran it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that they work together. I don't think it's the governor alone making these decisions. A lot of people are bashing on the governor and saying the governor's terrible and the governor shouldn't be doing this and they're ruining everything. I'm going to get on my soapbox for a minute, and we've kind of stayed away from this on the podcast, but I really want to say this, which is everybody has a part of responsibility for where we're at today. And I say that because if everybody would have stayed home when this started and wore masks and socially distanced from the beginning, we'd be out of this already. But I think what happened is we didn't have clear things, which is fine because that's how science works. Like, I'm not blaming scientists that, you know, they said at the first masks didn't work, then masks did work. And so there's all this stuff. If everybody would have just done what they're supposed to do for a month, we would have been really in a lot of pain financially and the economy for that month, but it would have been over and done with. And I think what happens now is we are taking a little bit of pain over a really long time, which ends up being a lot more pain in the long term. Businesses, I think, especially Disney, have savings. They could weather a business being closed for a month. A lot of these smaller mom and pop places could probably weather being closed for a month, completely closed. But after that month, if they could reopen and people could go back to being normal, then it would be fine. They can build that stuff up again. They can have their amount of people back. But the thing is we're half opening and we keep doing this open-close dance. And I don't know what it's like in California because I'm not in California. But in Wisconsin, we keep doing this open-close dance. My nephew, tomorrow they're going to decide if they can go back to school. Well, the universities opened at the beginning of this semester and a huge outbreak happened, so they went back to virtual. If we just were to pick a decision of trying to stay safe and stay closed and stick with it instead of seeing numbers start to get better and then go, oh, we can open again, we could be in a better spot. And I just think that we as people don't have the patience for it.
Well,
we're all kind of over it. And I'm over it, too.
It's easy to say all that now. Because, we didn't have a crystal ball when this all happened. So I just, it's a hard balancing act to know what is right and how much impact this or that may or may not have. And
that's true.
Who knows? You know, if we could have all told the future and knew that this was going to not only be, I mean, heck, I was the one that said that I thought Disneyland was going to be closed 2 weeks, maybe a month most, no more than that. And here we are going 7 months. So, you know, it's just, it's easy to say everything now, but back at that point in time, I don't know. There's still people fighting this. And so it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. I also think we need to look at Florida, right? And Disney's done a great job in Florida. Florida in general has done COVID mitigation, totally different than California. And Disney seems fine. There hasn't been a linked outbreak to Disney, which is good.
The other thing, though, that I just kind of wonder, right, because we were very hopeful because California sent people to the theme parks in Florida to
kind of
seem
like they did anything
to be kind of secret shopper. Well, we don't know. They kind of went to be secret shoppers, right? We didn't get a report back to say if the places passed or failed.
That's true.
And same thing when they went and visited theme parks in California. We don't know if they passed or failed. Perhaps we're looking at this just at Disney, right? Because that's the only piece of the pie that we're near and dear to.
Yeah.
What if, I'm not saying that they are, but what if Universal was doing a very poor job of putting guidelines? Or what if some other theme park was doing a very poor guidelines? They can't say, well, Disney, you can open, and Universal, you can open, but I'm sorry, Legoland, no. I mean, I guess maybe they could, but
I think then you get even more lawsuits, because it's like you're targeting
us.
They
can't pick and choose. You can, you can't, you can, mm-hmm. you can't. So I don't know. It's just a mess.
It is a mess.
Just a mess. But it would be interesting. I would be really interested to see what those reports said, if they were a pass-fail thing. Like, what was the feel? Did they think it was doing a good job or not a good job? Like you said, it's also different because you've got the Disney bubble there versus a Disney blip.
Well, what was interesting was last week when these folks supposedly went out and secret shopped them.
It
was a very busy week out there. Not like when we were out there. Now, I think if they would have sent somebody the week we were there, they would have been like, let's just open everything.
Yeah.
But I think it's gotten busier. But there's another part of this that I also feel like we have to acknowledge, because people keep saying it in our chat and people said it in the chat of the stream today, too, which was, if Walmart and Target and Kohl's and all these retail places can be open, why can't the parks be open?
Well, which just kind of goes back to the part where they were saying, basically, yes, you can do a good job inside of the theme park controlling. You're following the rules, you're following the guidelines, you're doing what you need to do, but we can't control what they do once they step foot outside of that. I just don't know why that wouldn't be the case everywhere, because technically everywhere the business has zero control what you do once you step out.
No, that's
you know,
true.
Step out of there. So, you know, I don't know why they're not saying that same type of thing about the sporting events, or even like malls or museums or whatever the other business is, movie theaters, whatever the other business is, why they're putting so much pressure on the theme parks to control the guests once the guest has left their property.
All right, I'm going to put you in an impossible spot, because I just love the thought idea behind this.
Okay.
And this is for people in our live stream chat, too. I want to know what you guys think. If you had to guess, when do you think Disneyland will be back open?
I have no idea. Just
like a general time frame.
No idea. I have absolutely no idea.
I don't think that they'll be open until next summer. Like, I think June, July, somewhere in there.
I have no idea. Because then that's also trying to, I feel like at this point, it's, you'd need a vaccine before you can get down to the numbers that they're needing it to be. And how long does it take to get a vaccine?
Mm-hmm.
Not only do you have to come up with said vaccine, you then have to make hundreds of thousands of doses, if not millions of doses of said vaccine, to then distribute to then who knows how long it takes to actually go through that whole process. And then there's probably some sort of waiting period to make sure it worked to then go. So who knows?
I have no idea. You also have to take into account that not everybody's going to get it, just like not everybody gets the flu shot, and you can't compel people to get it.
I just don't know. I have no idea. Exactly, Josh. Way too long. That's my final answer.
Way too long is bad, because the longer that all of this continues to go on and things stay closed.
Oh, well, that's
the
good
longer things
dream.
Won't. The more people are not going to be reopening is the problem. Now, I will say on the plus side, which doesn't help these families that are going through this right now, but in the future, maybe there's some opportunity. I said this in our chat earlier today, too, that maybe, especially like with the hotels and stuff, if they close and are unable to reopen around Disneyland, perhaps that gives an opportunity for somebody else to come in and make it a different experience.
I don't want to talk about businesses closing. That's terrible.
Well, I just mean it's going to happen. I guarantee you right now, even if things were to open today, I'll bet you there's probably one or two hotels around the area that won't reopen.
Oh, no, for sure. If not more, because it's...
No, I mean like
been,
done.
Yeah,
like they can't
been
open.
So long already that businesses, I don't know. I'm not a hotel owner or restaurant owner, but I don't think you expect to not function for
No.
A half a year, maybe right. Like a couple of months. Well, your nest
and I'm guaranteeing you the state is probably still collecting and the county and everything's probably still collecting property taxes and everything. So unfortunately, that is how it is.
Pay and all that kind of stuff. So it's just.
Well, let us know what you guys think. You can send us an email, feedback@dlweekly.net. You can talk to us on social media. We did get some feedback from our episode last week, by the way, about making our perfect Disney park. We got a few things. Yeah. In fact, I think we just got an email right before the show started from somebody that I'll have to read later. And it's nice hearing from you guys about stuff. So, well, Disneyland unions had drafted a letter to the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, asking to be included in the discussions regarding the opening of Disneyland. Previously, the unions asked to delay the opening for the union member's safety, but Disney has made the requested changes. So now they support the reopening.
Yeah. So this was interesting because this bit of news came out like a day or two before the guidelines came out. So I do feel bad. I don't know if maybe it was a timing issue, if maybe they didn't get that letter to the state government in time to be part of the discussions, I don't know, whatever happened there. So I did think that was very neat that the unions were vocal and saying, hey, can we please be part of this discussion? So I do wish that would have happened.
Yeah.
Because, right, those are the people that are working the front lines of the theme park. So I feel like they'd have the best, like, feel of things.
Do you think that depending on what everybody's reaction today and tomorrow and the next few days will be, do you think the state will reevaluate the situation?
I think the situation is probably constantly being reevaluated. However, sure. I do not think they're going to do it right away because they're not going to want to. I mean, nobody wants to admit that they've made a mistake. So I think they're going to let it sit for a little bit and probably revisit it down the road. But I don't think it'll be revisited tomorrow.
No. I'm just saying the outrage of today and tomorrow and the next day, will that mean anything to the government?
I don't know, because I think at this point they're probably very used to dealing with the outrage.
That's true.
Might not be as. It might not faze them as much.
I'll tell you what, if it wasn't, I would not blame Disney, and this is very sad for me to say, but I would not blame Disney if it was possible for them to pack up and move somewhere else.
I don't know.
I would not blame them to pack up and move. So, I mean, you can't move a theme park, but if it was possible, if it was like a store that they owned, like they'd just be like, well, we'll just go do business in Texas, which was the rumor for a while.
Yeah.
But you're not going to move Disneyland. But maybe this is going to change how Disney functions going forward. Maybe there's stuff we can't even comprehend right now that they're going to maybe think about.
Who knows? One thing that I am very concerned about, which I don't think a lot of people think about, I'm concerned about the parks itself. The fact that all of these attractions and all of these things have been sitting for so long. I know that they've been trying to run attractions and such because they had so many problems with Disney World when they reopened, that with the attractions sitting for not the same, I mean, a shorter length of time than what the attractions at Disneyland have been sitting, they're going to have issues with these attractions. So I'm just really worried that whenever they are allowed to reopen, that they're going to be having to spend a lot of time and like energy and probably money to get these things back in working order, right? Because these things were designed to continuously be taking guests through the magic of whatever Disney thing, whether it was Pirates or Splash Mountain or, yeah, I don't know, whatever, Haunted Mansion. You know, think of all those working pieces of the mechanics of things.
Well, things seize up when you don't use them for a while.
If they're built to move and they're not moving, I feel like that's even worse. So it's just like, I just worry about the actual like infrastructure of the park.
I think when the parks do reopen, I think it's going to be a rough start, just like when we were in Disney World. Yeah. That's what the cast members are saying.
Yeah. I do. I mean, but it is Disney. They're smart. So I feel like perhaps without us knowing, they have those pirates singing yo-ho, yo-ho, and they have the ghosts singing and all, you know, all that stuff. Perhaps they're going through and cycling through them every day.
Maybe to
keep them ready and lubed up. I don't know.
Maybe it was Ken Potrock. Maybe he wrote that message from like on a boat.
Yes, while he was going around It's a Small World. Disney has come to an agreement with most of the unions that represent their cast members on layoffs and recall procedures. Union cast members will be called back to work based on seniority. Most full-time members will not be let go, but part-time members should be concerned. Layoffs are expected to happen beginning next month. Again, this was specifically for the union cast members.
this does, I mean, this is good that it seems like the union has fought for their full-time mm-hmm. people and their people that have been there for a long time. So that's good news.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, part-time people and layoffs. I think with today's news, this is probably going to be in flux again and things are going to be different. Well, we were a little concerned about a protest that was promoted online last week. It was billed as a protest to get the parks open for the good of the cast members, but it was also rumored to be organized by a conservative group from out of state that would turn it into more of an attack on Governor Gavin Newsom. Protesters did show up from both groups, with cast member supporters wearing masks and being safe with COVID protections. The other group had a tent set up and were not distancing or wearing masks. Quite a difference between the groups.
Yeah, and some of the concern with this, too, was, right, we're trying to, at this point, Disney was trying to prove that they were maintaining guidelines and keeping everything safe. So the thought of having a group of people gathering at their gates may not have been the best PR image while they were trying to prove, hey, no, we've got things under control. Right. So unfortunately, it did sound like the group that were there for the cast members, they were wearing their masks, like Tag said, and they were socially distancing. But the other group was not. And unfortunately, from the photos we saw, it looked like they were pretty much right under the Disneyland sign. Yep. So it was kind of hard to miss them. So I'm not really sure what anyone was really hoping to have gained with this, because I feel like we talked about this in the chat that, you know, it's not Disney that doesn't want to be reopening.
Yeah.
It's the state guidelines that aren't allowing them to be open. So I don't really understand why choosing to protest at Disneyland seemed like the obvious choice
right.
for the groups. I would have thought that maybe having that located elsewhere
at the Capitol or something.
Capitol or something would have made a bit more sense. So I was a little confused by that choice. Good for these people that, you know, are wanting to speak up and use their voices. It didn't sound like there was really much of a turnout at all.
No.
But
the other good news was they did this on the harbor side,
yeah.
and like 90% of everybody's coming in on the other side.
I don't know where they would have. I mean, I feel like it would have been almost not dangerous on the other side, but it
almost just, impossible. It's all Disney property over there.
It would have been much more difficult. I did enjoy some of the signs of some of the like cast member protesters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, tell the guards to open up the gate, and, you know, they were Disney themed, so I thought that was very fun.
I wish Disney had more control over that area by their sign, because I noticed the last couple times I've been there,
there's even some interesting activities.
Well,
over
they have
by
people
sign.
There. There was the guy that was trying to get people to pet his parrot.
Yeah,
they were selling water bottles and soda and stuff. And I just feel like Disney must hate those people. But I think it's on city sidewalks, so they can't do anything about it. So, oh well.
Well, more work is happening around the entrance to Tomorrowland that was originally scheduled to be completed last summer. The last of the French fry rocks has been removed. No word yet on when they plan to start the construction of the entrance planters. However, it does sort of look like it from the aerial images that they are starting that stuff, which is super exciting to me because I cannot wait for the new entrance to Tomorrowland.
I am just excited that they are still working on stuff in the park. And I know that this was all of this stuff was from before the announcement today. But still, for those of you watching
it's
on the stream,
exciting.
I will show the browser picture of this. So this is an aerial photo of right outside. So the French fry rocks are gone. Of course, there's been this thing that's been here forever. So hopefully, fingers crossed that they get this and they build it and hopefully everybody will be able to go see it sooner rather than later. Well, two focal points in the parks are getting a refurbishment. I was actually very surprised to hear this.
This was super interesting to me.
In fact, in a minute, I'll tell you, you'll know, there was a part of this that made me think of you. The partners and storyteller statues in each park are being cleaned up and having the oxidation removed. Apparently, they look like shiny new pennies now.
I cannot wait to see what these look like. Can you imagine seeing these statues?
No, I'm so used to them seeing in the oxidized thing.
Yeah, I can. This is like so oddly exciting to me. I don't know. Like, it's not something like non-Disneyland fans would be this excited
sure.
about, but I find this fascinating.
Where
I cannot
is it?
Wait to see photos of these. Cannot wait to see them in person. I think they're going to be gorgeous.
Which park was it? One of the parks around the world somewhere has a Mickey statue where like his shorts are cleaned and not oxidized, but the rest of him is. So like it looks like there's colors. I've seen this statue and I can't think of where it is. I don't remember if it's in Disney World somewhere. I don't know. I don't know. I'm with you. I'm excited to see what these things look like. I'm concerned that they will blind people with the reflectivity. but I guess
we'll
see.
It'll be like the day that they were in, which I This is crazy to me. I always thought that they had the oxidized look since day one, which
I feel like they oxidize very fast. So yeah. Probably by the time the parks do reopen, they'll probably be re-oxidized.
Well, who knows, though?
But do you see the part that I remember you thought of you for? Because you have the shiny pennies.
I do make sure I have shiny pennies when I go to the park so I can get the shiny pennies squished in the machines. The votes are in, and the new legacy lightsaber that will be available for purchase will be Cal Kestis from the video game Jedi Fallen Order. A couple of other designs that are showing up are Ahsoka Tano's pair of sabers that feature hilts that change colors, Count Dooku's curved hilt, and Disney has announced that two other legacy lightsabers will be retired to make room for the new designs. Ooh, which ones do you think will...
Be retired? I don't know. I was thinking about that myself. I'm excited because if I would have voted, I would have voted for Cal Kestis's lightsaber too. I thought that was the cool one. So very happy that that one's coming.
You did vote.
Remember did I? Okay. But I voted for Cal Kestis.
I think so.
And then Ahsoka Tano, I'm very interested to see about the hilts changing colors because I feel like they've got like an iridescent color maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure how this is supposed to look, but I feel like that one's going to be very expensive because it is literally two lightsabers. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. And Count Dooku's, I thought they already had Count Dooku's. Apparently I was not thinking of the right thing. But his is cool because his is like curved. I always thought that his lightsaber was neat.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how that goes. I mean, of the other ones, did we talk about what the other ones were available? Do you know of any of the ones that are... Because I'm thinking they're not going to get rid of, like, Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. They're not going to get rid of Darth Vader's lightsaber.
You were asking a Star Wars question to the exact wrong person, especially when it comes to whose lightsaber is whose.
That's
I have
true.
No idea.
This is a feel-good story.
This story
if you guys
amazing.
Have been waiting for... something feel good. This is it, folks. What organization is celebrating their 40th anniversary and just surpassed 500,000 wishes granted? Well, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Disney and Make-A-Wish have been partners for a while now and have made more than 140,000 wishes come true. The 500,000 wish milestone went to 16-year-old Karina, whose wish was to give kids a day to forget they're sick.
This was amazing because she... kind of based this camp on it. Well, basically it was like it was based on her memories of going to summer camp. And so they kind of made this like indoor summer camp themed event for her and for all of her, I don't know, friends. I guess I don't know who they chose to come there.
Another important thing that I didn't mention in the story, but is true, is the very first wish granted was a trip to Disneyland.
Yeah, that's very cool. So the Walt Disney Animation Studios hosted a Frozen-inspired drawing class, which actually featured a professional animator and Josh Gad, of course, the voice of Olaf. Mm,
national treasure.
ESPN and the NBA took 32 Wish Kids, including Karina, in the virtual stands for Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And Disney Parks Experiences and Products provided some Disney-themed trivia.
This is funny because for those of you watching the live stream, they did this virtual stands and it's like everybody's little cutout Zoom thing and they stuck them in this like virtual stand.
So you don't know this because you don't like do Zoom calls and like those kind of calls for work.
No.
This is kind of a feature that they have for conferences.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I just think this is amazing. Disney has done a really good job over the years. They've worked with organizations like Make-A-Wish, which they've been a huge supporter of. Obviously, of the 500,000 wishes, 140,000 of them, Disney worked with them. The very first one was Disney at Disneyland Resort. And of course, they've worked with other organizations that do great work like this. So that is just amazing that Disney did that. And I love the fact that her wish was to give kids a day to forget they're sick. No. That's kind of the point of the whole Make-A-Wish thing, though, isn't it? Is to kind of give them something that they want to do, like one of their bucket list items or whatever.
Right, right. So the fact that her bucket list item wasn't something that she like wanted personally, like a trip to Hawaii or Disney World or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was her wish was like the happiness of others and not her own personal happiness. So that just speaks volumes for this girl, Karina. That's just amazing. But so yes, Disney was involved, but the day-long virtual camp also had a magic show, a science class, story time, in addition to the amazing Disney and NBA surprises.
That is so cool. I'm glad that they were able to do that because... What an awesome
situation. Very, very cool. Well, if you're a super fan of the Haunted Mansion like we are, then some of these unique crafts to make at home are 100% for you. The Disney Parks blog has posted some different crafts, including the Grim Grinning Garland with Tomb Sweet Tomb headstones, a how to create your own Madame Leota crystal ball, and how to become a ghost bride or happy haunt. Check out the link in the show notes for more. These are so clever. And so some of them are a little detailed. I was looking because, of course, it's Haunted Mansion. I got so excited.
Are you
going to
make any of these?
I don't know. They look maybe like they might be a little too difficult for
me. I feel like you could do this
Tomb
Sweet Tomb. That
garland is incredible. So the garland, they took wooden beads, painted the wooden beads purple, and then they painted tiny little eyes on it. So it kind of reminds you of like the Haunted Mansion wallpaper.
Oh, yeah.
And then they took, I don't know, some sort of like clay or something and made, cut out little tombstones and then put the tombstones, hung them, you know, on the garland or whatever. It's very detailed, very, very cool.
I feel like you could do this. I'm curious about this DIY Madame Leota ball. Oh, and there's a template. So this is probably like something similar like the paper part. Oh, I get it. It's like a thing you can cut out and, oh, that's, oh, you get like dowels and stuff. That's cool.
So this one requires like a drill. So that's definitely, wow. Okay, I might have to try this one. That one's pretty darn cool.
Wait for the rest of this.
However, I did get my hands on one of the Madame Leota sippers, which is amazing. Super. This is my favorite sipper, not just because it's Haunted Mansion theme, but I just, the design of the sipper is so, so cool.
This is so cool. They made candles out of dowels and hot glue and some fat. Oh, that is so cool.
This is crazy creative.
Oh, and you can like, you make it like fun. Oh, wow. I didn't look. Okay. Full disclosure, I didn't look at this click. Like, I looked at the article, but I didn't look at what the thing was. That looks so neat. You're going to make one of these, huh?
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
And then, of course, you could do makeup to become one of the different things. So that'll be cool.
Fun Halloween costumes.
Oh, geez. Well, Mice Chat posted a couple of recipes on their site to help make this Halloween a little more spooky with the help of wedding cakes, inspired by, of course, the Haunted Mansion. With just a few ingredients, you can bring the ballroom to your dining room.
This was incredible. So they actually recreated the Haunted Mansion's the cake that they, I don't even know how to like explain this. The Haunted Mansion, there's the wedding cake, right? So they recreated the Haunted Mansion's wedding cake. And it's just incredible. First of all, whoever did this is super, super talented.
Well, then they did the bloody wedding cake from the 50th anniversary that they had at the store where you cut it open and it looks like it's bleeding.
I did get to see that cake on display because that they did have that at one of the quick service restaurants. So you could see it. I did not try a slice of it. However, the wedding cake that they made, like the full multi-tier wedding cake that was made, is actually, it looks like it's made out of something that's like cement or something. It's not, it's that, the multi-tiered cake is not edible. It's made as a decor item.
Oh, I just like this because they have a video here that I also didn't look at, but I love that she's standing there and in the background, she's got the hitchhiking ghost.
I know,
ghosts.
I need to ask this woman where she got her hitchhiking ghost from.
Teresa's looking at this lady and thinking,
Mansion envy.
Hashtag life goals.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just incredible.
Liberty wants
incredible.
To know if you want a Haunted Mansion themed cake for your wedding.
I haven't really given much thought to what my wedding cakes will be, because I'll have two, since it'll be the Disney wedding cake and then the one for the reception back home. I don't think I'm going to ask the people back home to try and do a Haunted Mansion theme one. They probably wouldn't know what the heck I was talking about. But yeah, haven't given much thought to that. Another Disney Paper Parks Happy Haunts release has been posted this week. This time, it's a little less Disneyland-centered, but it features the Haunted Mansion version from the Magic Kingdom and Tokyo Disneyland. The stately mansion, grounds, and front gates are featured this time, along with some familiar friends. That's right. The hitchhiking ghosts, of course, are present, practicing their terror with ghoulish delight.
I thought you'd enjoy
that. This one, I think, had the stretching room in there, too.
Did it? I feel like we have to get together. Maybe should be one of our bonus things, is we should make the Main Street ones.
There you go. You can make a stretching room.
Oh.
However, I think it's interesting that they call it like the portrait chamber.
Well, it is the portrait chamber. I mean, if you think about it, in the mansion, it's probably called the portrait chamber.
That's true. That is true.
I don't know. These things are always so cool.
They're so detailed. It's amazing to me.
I still want to build them. I gotta get together. I gotta get some time and get my colored pencils and stuff and try to do something. And for the weekly tiers who are not close to a Disney park, shopping district, or Disney store, there is some good news if you are looking for a Disney mask. Retailers all across the country are now carrying them. Amazon, Gap, Hot Topic, Box Lunch, Walmart, and Kohl's all have numerous designs online and in store.
Yeah, the interesting thing with this too is, so of course they have different like designs printed on them, but they're also different like styles of mask, I guess would be a good way of saying
it. There's Star Wars one.
There's cool. A lot that are very familiar and same type of design as the ones that you can get on Shop Disney. There are other ones that have adjustable things behind your ears, and then there's other ones that kind of remind me of the like what I'd think like the traditional like medical type blue trifold
surgical mask,
surgical type mask. There's that style as well.
I can't believe maskclub.com has over 250 designs,
right? It's crazy.
From Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and Fox. Ooh,
yeah, amazing.
This one reminds me of Lee the other night. So on our stream, Lee had a Darth Vader helmet with a Darth Vader mask on, so it kind of looked very Darth Vader.
You noticed his Darth Vader helmet had ears, right?
Oh yeah, it was an eared Darth Vader helmet. So more power to you, Lee.
The next mini, the main attraction collection, this time featuring the Jungle Cruise, was previewed this week. The collection has the typical array of options with leopard print, white and red stripes, which are actually reminiscent of the original Jungle Cruise boats.
And then I was trying to figure out,
is that a leaf?
Is that a leaf? Like, I can't.
And then they've got, yeah, it's kind of like green foliage. So probably either a leaf or just, you know, kind of some jungle foliage there. The Jungle Cruise collection will be available via Merch Pass in November. Isn't it crazy?
We're almost done.
Yeah, this is the second to last release of the main attraction merchandise. It seems like it was never ending. There's been high times, there's been low times. There's been a lot of excitement and a lot of anxiety and stress.
I'll tell you what, I wish I could go back to January and get the mug from Space Mountain, because that was so cool looking.
The mug is very
and
cool.
I kick myself. The only Minnie the Main Attraction thing I have is you got me a Dumbo mug,
because
the gold on that looks really cool. Well, now it's time to take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer Vern will try to stump us with some Disney trivia. He'll ask us four questions, maybe a bonus. We'll attempt to answer them, keyword attempt, and we'll get the correct answer after the discussion topic. What do you have for us this week, Vern?
Researching a question that had been submitted to us and verifying the answer on it, I found myself going into a wormhole about the Disney Railroad.
Oh.
And falling through that wormhole, I became very interested in learning about the railroad and some of the history and some interesting little facts about the railroad. And so I decided that tonight's trivia is Railroad Night.
Ooh, this is now, right up your alley.
First of all, can I just say, Teresa, you must be rubbing off on Vern, going down rabbit holes of things.
Yes.
Teresa loves to do that.
Yeah. I don't love to, it just happens.
Oops, there you go.
Yes, when somebody says, yeah, I'll be there in a minute, and an hour later, it's, what are you doing? Sorry, rabbit hole.
I don't mean to. It just kind of sort of happens.
Yes.
I'm too curious.
Oh, Simba, nobody ever means for these things to happen.
Yes. I'm kind of going to take it easy on you in that you won't have a bonus question tonight.
That's either a good thing or a bad thing.
So, we will start off with question number one. Originally fueled with diesel fuel, in the early 2000s, they switched to what kind of fuel?
It's a biofuel, but I don't remember what.
Doesn't it use like stuff from their fryers? It uses like their fryer grease, doesn't it? Yeah, their fryer oil, their used fryer oil or recycled fryer oil. Which is why it smells like French fries when the train goes around, I think I've heard people say.
It's a biodiesel, but I'm trying to remember what it's. If that's what it is. I think we learned about this at the Animal Kingdom.
Probably. Have you been watching that Animal Kingdom show on? It's good.
Time. It's all about time.
Well, if you'd stop going down Disney rabbit holes. You know, you should just have it on while you're doing Disney stuff, because it's not something
I have to.
Oh, jeez.
Food scraps of some sort, I thought. There was something. I'm trying to remember what they told us. We learned this while I was becoming a wilderness explorer, and I'm failing my troop leader, my pack leader or whatever.
I hope they're not watching.
I hope not. We did. We learned this.
I'm going to say fryer oil, though, Vern, and we're just going to see what...
It's waste from the parks, but I don't remember specifically what waste. I'm going to say it's some sort of like, I don't know.
Okay, we'll count that as your final answer. Your second question.
Yes, yeah, Freya, do not book me for your wilderness trip because I don't remember.
There are 5 locomotives for the trains. What are their names?
Oh, no.
Oh.
The Fred Gurley something or other.
There's the E.P. Ripley, the Fred Gurley, the C.K. Holiday, spelled with 2 L's. What was the Imagineer? Because it was the newest one. It was in 2005. There was in 2005, there was one that was like dedicated to the, because I think it was one of the Imagineers trains or something.
Trains are not my, the Disneyland Railroad is not something I know tons of information about. So I don't know. My contribution was the Fred Gurley.
E.P. Ripley, the Fred Gurley, the C.K. Holiday, the, oh, I'm such a train buff with Disney too. I should know this.
I just remember that like one of them was super, super old, like from the, 1800s or something. Mm-hmm.
It might pop in my head. I've got 3 right now, Vern. Let's move on.
You
and
what, 5?
I'll yell out something if I catch it.
All right. In addition to owning his own train line in his backyard and eventually building his own train line at his park, Walt actually worked for a real train line before becoming Walt Disney as we knew him. What was his job?
I don't think I knew this. He shoveled coal.
I think he was like, what do you call the person who brings people stuff to their cabin? Not like a bellhop, but like they would, you know, like in Harry Potter where they're like selling the candy and stuff.
Like a trolley?
Like a trolley attendant person. That's what I'll say.
Who are the he was a ticket taker.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, he was a ticket taker. That's what I'm going to say. Not a cold person. A ticket taker.
This is driving me crazy. The 5 train. Anyway.
And your 4th and final question. I expected these to be a lot harder for you. You're doing very well. Of the cars that were originally commissioned with the trains, there's one in particular that started on July 17th, 1955. A set of cars called the Retlaw 1. R-E-T-L-A-W, number 1, that has since been retired from service as of July 1974. Where can you find those cars now? Hint, they're in 2 different places.
Is there one at the Walt Disney Family Museum? And is there another one in Marceline, Missouri?
I'm going to say one of them has got to be in the...
Or the archives.
At the train... Walt's barn.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Walt's I think barn. There's one there.
That would make sense. So do you think maybe there's one in the barn and one in the archives?
Maybe.
However, a train car is quite a big thing to have to store. I don't see it. You've been to the Family Museum.
Maybe it would be, is there like a Santa Fe museum somewhere? Because I feel like, because the Santa Fe and Disneyland Railroad, because they sponsored it in the beginning, so maybe that. This is annoying because the stupid 5 things, like 4 of them were executives of the Santa Fe Railroad Company. Yeah. So,
oh, and to be fair, it wasn't the entire set of the Retlaw 1. It was only the front-facing cars that were retired. Okay. The side-facing cars are still in service.
Like I said, the barn is the only answer I can think of.
I don't know. I'm trying to think because I've not visited the Family Museum. I've not visited the archives, of course, because nobody gets to
remember
the
a train at the museum.
I don't, and I've not visited Marceline, Missouri, his boyhood home. I know they have Midgetopia there. I don't know if there's any other. I'm trying to remember if there's any other park stuff there. So I think you're right with the barn. Let's go with the barn and the archives.
I'm gonna go with the barn and some type of Santa Fe museum somewhere, Santa Fe Railroad Museum somewhere.
And that's your answer?
That's my answer.
Okay. Well, how do you think they did, listeners? Do you think they got the right answers?
No.
Do you think you listening at home were able to get the right answers? Keep listening after the discussion topic and we'll all find out together.
This week, we wanted to bring you guys a little bit of joy because unfortunately we did have to start the news out with some heavy topics that just aren't very exciting right now. But we wanted to go take a trip into Tomorrowland and take a deeper dive into Space Mountain. Now, the chat did remind us because apparently we talk about Disneyland so much we forget what we've gone over and what we haven't. So we do apologize. We have already covered Space Mountain recently, but I do think we'd have some new information for you guys today. So hopefully you enjoy talking about Space Mountain with us.
A lot of this, too, is because Teresa finally utilized her Disneyland encyclopedia to do a bunch of research for this.
I was very excited about this.
Yeah. And she was telling me that most of this actually comes from the Disneyland encyclopedia. Yeah. So I am guessing that some of this, if not all of it, will be new information, folks, because I actually read her notes for this week, and I didn't remember any of it. But that doesn't mean anything, but we'll go through it anyway.
So first, I just thought this was interesting, but there is a connection from Space Mountain with the Matterhorn. Because of the success of the Matterhorn is actually why Walt decided that thrill rides did have a place in Disneyland. The original thought was actually to have the roller coaster be the centerpiece of a new and renovated Tomorrowland.
It's funny how it seems like there's
times
always a new renovated Tomorrowland on the horizon.
Yes,
even
yes.
In Walt's day.
Always looking for bigger, better.
Well, I kind of liked the idea of this original one. The roller coaster was first called Spaceport. One of the first drawings of the new space-themed attraction was done by John Hench around 1964, so really early, actually.
Yeah.
It resembled the exterior of our current Space Mountain, but it also included tracks spiraling down the outside of the structure. How would that be?
I know. I was going to say, can you imagine? Like, what that would just be so crazy and so cool.
I mean, it's kind of like they kind of have a
ish.
Very small section
yeah.
in Paris because you, like, launch and see, but you're
yeah
minimal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with the death of Walt Disney and the Disney World projects eating up lots of funds, this high price project was shelved. Another reason that this was shelved was because the technology needed was actually like way ahead of its time. So the things they needed to make this attraction work how they wanted it to work just didn't exist yet.
Never stopped Disney before.
No. Imagineers revisited the idea years later when it was noticed that the Magic Kingdom in Florida lacked thrill rides, which of course were very popular with teenagers and young adults. Space Mountain first debuted in Orlando in 1975.
Well, it was a hit, of course. Construction on Disneyland's version began that same year on the land that was once used by the Flying Saucer. Saucers, which was a really cool idea of an attraction. And again, they tried to bring that back for Cars Land.
What was it? Luigi's
Flying
Tires
or something
like
that. Yeah. Well, the Disneyland exterior was about 60 feet shorter than the one in Disney World, and the diameter of the building was about 100 feet smaller. That was because the Disneyland Mountain would have one interior track instead of the two tracks of Walt Disney World. If you've ever been to Disney World, now Teresa, I know, can freshly recall this from her memory when we were there. It is ginormous compared to our Space Mountain.
Yeah. At the time, it was Disneyland's second tallest structure. Of course, the first tallest being the Matterhorn. Costing about $20 million, it became the park's most expensive attraction at the time and the first attraction to surpass the total cost to build Disneyland. The mountain cone was painted white, reached 118 feet in the air, and housed 1.8 million cubic feet. That just sounds crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Its footprint covered almost an acre of Tomorrowland, and it's estimated it took over 1 million man hours to design and construct our California Ooh. Version. Right? Because think of it, the original is the one in Florida,
mm-hmm.
which, like Teg just explained, is not
Massive.
The same. It's very different. So crazy, crazy, crazy.
As much as I like our Disneyland Space Mountain, I do like the like grand size of the one in Florida just because it just seems so huge.
Yeah.
But ours fits very well with our park, I will say.
Oh,
that.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, Space Mountain opened in May of 1977 to some of the longest lines in Disneyland's history. The attraction skyrocketed the park to a new attendance milestone. Previously, 1970 had been the only time annual attendance reached the 10 million mark. But in 1977, the new record was set to just under 11 million. Of course, nowadays, it's like, what, 17 million every year?
A lot. Mm-hmm. A lot. But, you know, what made this attraction so popular? The thought of a roller coaster in space is a pretty simple concept, but Disney did an amazing job with their execution, as they always do, right? The attraction tops out at 32 miles per hour, but the darkness of the attraction makes you feel as though you're going much, much faster. The Imagineers used banked curves and dips to add thrill, since they're unseen and not something that the guests would anticipate. Air blasts and the sound of the rocket vehicles also add to this experience.
So one of the things Teresa just realized at the Disney World version of space is you apparently have muscle memory from our version.
Yes.
So when we went into that version, it was more thrilling because you didn't know where anything was going.
Do you know what was weird? Was my body was anticipating the Disneyland version. So I would be like leaning into the curves of the Disneyland version while on the Walt Disney World version, which was
not the
correct moves or ways to be going. So it was very, very weird.
I also think that it's one of those things where people, because this shows up on questions all the time, like trivia. What's the fastest attraction in Disneyland? And people are like, Space Mountain, but it's not 32 miles per hour.
Isn't that crazy how it feels so
well, everything
faster.
Feels fast when you're in the dark careening down who knows
well,
where.
But the fact that they utilize simple things like air blasts to make it feel like you're blowing, you know, that you're the wind's blowing through your hair much faster.
I will say even Hyperspace Mountain does a good job of using graphics and stuff to make it seem like things are going faster. And honestly, I don't know how they hide some of the stuff, because when you come out of the tunnel at the very beginning of the attraction, there is a projection during the Hyperspace Mountain version, like on the ceiling.
Yeah.
You, even though you're right in there, you don't ever see that again.
It's crazy.
I don't know how they do it.
It's amazing.
Well, the attraction had some interesting changes over the years. Most notable and unfortunate was in 1997 when the music was, well, not this part, but was when the music was updated to a more fast-paced track. 1998, the exterior was painted in bronze
which
and
everyone
greens.
So loved.
God, it looked awful. It looked like Disneyland had been neglected, and it's just awful. It was the worst decision they ever made. In 2003, the attraction was closed for 2 years, so work could be done to replace the track, update the rocket's look, update the queue with the new silver spaceship, and restore the original white exterior. I will say one thing they changed with this that I miss is you used to be able to see the rockets go flying past in parts of the queue because there was like windows.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do miss that because they were kind of glow in the darky and they'd fly, you'd see the things fly by.
Even when you were in the attraction itself, you could kind of see where the other rockets were because of the glow and dark.
Also, back when the People Mover was around, you also used to be able to go in and see, and you'd see the rockets moving around.
Zipping around.
Well, the original entrance ramp was removed, which is also another sad thing, because they used to have those speed ramps everywhere. Yeah. And the only one that's really around anymore is the one from the Haunted Mansion at the exit. Was removed and replaced with a walkway, and souvenir photos are now taken at the end of your journey.
That was a surprising one to me.
That they didn't have pictures before?
I don't know why it never dawned on me that wouldn't have always been there, but I don't have memories of not having an attraction photo, which I had definitely visited the park prior to 2003 and would not have had an attraction photo, but it just, for some reason, that one surprised me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there have been several overlays throughout the years as well. In 2007, Rockin' Space Mountain ran from January to April. The soundtrack was changed to Higher Ground by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. LED concert lighting was added along the tracks of the ride, making the track and interior of the mountain visible.
Oh, I can't believe I missed this. Also,
I would have loved that.
Hero in our chat, who joined us for the first time tonight, said that the Red Hot Chili Peppers was the best.
I could see that being a fun, like, fun music to be zipping around in Space Mountain, too.
Yeah. Space Mountain Ghost Galaxy debuted in 2009 for Halloween time. Ghost Galaxy had been running in Hong Kong since 2007. This version uses projections of a ghost chasing riders through the mountain, and you actually experienced this one.
Yeah, I have experienced Ghost Galaxy. I will say the ghost is terrifying. So smaller children or scaredy cat adults like myself, beware, because it looks like this like flaming skull head. I don't know. It was much more terrifying than I would have thought.
I want to point out, if you are a supporter of our podcast, there is going to be at the, what is it, the cast member level and above, there is going to be we're going to put the camera, if they'll allow us, we're going to put a camera in the car because Teresa and I and our social media manager, Alex, are going to this drive-through haunted thing this weekend.
I'm not looking forward to it.
And Teresa is going to be freaking out. So if we are able to record, if they don't disallow it, we will get that together and put that on the Patreon for all the supporters to watch. And you can see Teresa screaming in fear.
That's the other thing, too. Thank you for reminding us in the chat, Hero. So the Red Hot Chili Peppers it was something about like Rockin' the Parks or something was the promotion. And so California Screamin' did not get, they got new music. So it was also a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. I don't remember which song it was off the top of my head, but the attraction didn't get any sort of overlay, just the different music.
Yeah.
Well, Hyperspace Mountain was originally debuted November 14th, 2015, during the Season of the Force, which was an event celebrating the release of Star Wars: The Force Awakens. This overlay features a soundtrack with music from John Williams' score of the Star Wars films. Projections depict a mission towards the planet Jakku, which, of course, there's TIE fighters, X-Wings.
You're in the middle of a space battle.
Yeah, you have Admiral Akbar, it's a trap, yelling at you at one point. So much fun. This is a really fun version. But the overlay has been removed and brought back several times over the years. It's been
well, Season of the Force has been brought back. I mean, for those of you who might have a Menards near you and they're constantly doing their 11% rebate, it's kind of like that. I feel like it's all the time.
Yeah, no, Season of the Force, it was like, it looked to me like the first round of Season of the Force was almost a year.
Yeah. But then they like
get sprinkled back in there because I think it comes back maybe just for, I think it came back maybe just for maybe like the May the 4th weekend ones. It's come back several times.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, that's this version of our Space Mountain discussion. So I feel like there was a lot of stuff we didn't talk about before because none of this really seemed familiar.
So hopefully you learned something new.
Yeah. And, you know, all of us during right now would just love to be back in Space Mountain. So
of course
I feel like we should just turn the lights off here and get next to each
get
other
our
and
flashlights out.
Come on, it could be great.
Well, now it's time to return to Trivia Land, where producer Vern is going to give us the answers to this week's trivia. I'm curious how we did. I feel like we were kind of all over the place.
I am gonna kick myself when he tells us the other two engines of the railroad, because I know these. My brain is just not cooperating.
Well, don't kick yourself too hard. I mean, you did well getting the three.
Well, maybe. We'll find out.
All right. Your first question. Originally fueled with diesel, in the early 2000s, they made the switch over to biodiesel made from recycling materials from the parks. Well done.
So are you giving that one to Teresa, too?
As far as I've been able to find, it was using, like, the fry oils and whatnot, yeah?
And, like, waste? So it's not just fry oils?
It's all over the board.
Interesting.
So, like I said, I'm in a rabbit hole, so I'm getting multiple sources. So,
good job, Teresa.
Yes. So, if any listeners have better information on that, we are definitely open to learning more on the subject.
You know, I'm going to pull out my Wilderness Explorer book because I think I notated it because I thought it was so interesting. So, I guess I earned my badge back for my Wilderness Explorer pack.
There you go.
And question number two, the five names of the trains are the CK Holiday, the E.P. Ripley, the Fred Gurley, the Ernest Marsh, and the Ward Kimball.
Ward Kimball.
Oh,
that was the one.
I'm impressed with myself that I knew one.
One thing, too, I'm sure you guys all know this, but next time you're in Disneyland, whenever things are back open, if there's an awesome map of the trains in the train station and they have lights that show you where the trains are along the track.
Yeah.
So if you are waiting for the train, you don't have to go sit out in the heat or the cold or whatever's going on in the weather. If you check out the stuff in the train station, there's some cool stuff in there. And one of them is this map, which I really want to see because I don't think when we were there, I don't think we looked at that because I didn't notice if they had updated it to be the changed track for Galaxy's Edge. If somebody knows the answer, let us know.
The job that Walt Disney had previously had working with a train company was with the Missouri Pacific Railway as a news butcher, selling various products to train passengers, including newspapers, candy, and cigars.
So kind of like the trolley person.
Yes!
There you go. I didn't know that that's what that was called, a news butcher.
I learned that myself, too.
It was kind of funny because somebody in the chat
said that
butcher.
In the chat, and I was like, butcher? What? And I'm thinking, like, you
butcher
know,
boy, Donna said it.
Yeah, good job, Donna, because I was very confused.
And your fourth and final question. The cars that were part of Retlaw 1 that were retired in July of 1974 can now be found at the Los Angeles Live Steamers Railroad Museum and the Pacific Coast Railroad.
Oh.
We failed.
Completely and utterly.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. We didn't have high hopes for that one anyway.
I'm surprised that they aren't somehow still linked to Disney in some shape or form, or at least one of them's not still linked to Disney in one
shape or form.
Who knows? That's what drew me to that one as a trivia question,
that's really
because they're such a part of Disney history and Disney lore, and they're no longer associated with Disney.
Yeah. Mm,
very interesting.
Cool.
So listeners, how did you do? Did you get any of the right answers? How do you think that Tag and Teresa did? Do you think that you've got some questions that would be able to stump them? If you'd like to contribute some questions to the show, feel free to send them in to us at trivia@dlweekly.net.
Just make sure that, you know, if you put them above like preschool level, we'll probably fail them. Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, have courage, be kind, and spread some Disney magic.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.
And for the bonus question, how does Deanne love to travel to Disneyland? On the train.
On the train.